Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Pray that you're having a blessed week and that you are lifting God's holy name up and being the hands and the feet of Jesus, right? That's what we're called to be, right? And this ministry is kind of, you know, that labor. One of the things of this ministry is that is for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus and for us to stop playing around with our Christianity. We are called to be that light in this dark world, to reach those that are in need. So tonight I've been praying since last Sunday on what message to do tonight, and Daniel started coming to mind. Daniel 3:1-30 is actually our scriptural text tonight, and the title of this sermon is called, and I preached on this a few times, Fiery Trials. So if you have your Bibles tonight, just flip over there to Daniel 3:1-30. I usually read from the King James Version. You may have a different version, so it will read a little bit different. So Daniel 3:1-30. Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, whom height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Duran, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. Then the priests, the governor, the captains, the judges, the treasurer, the counselor, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together up unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and then a hurl cry out loud to you is commanded, O people, nations, languages. And at what time ye hear the sound of the carpet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcet, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. And whosoever fall not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near, accused the Jews. They spake, and they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Oh, how they won't flatter, right? The old king has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the carpet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcet, and all kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso fall not down and worship that, he shall be cast into the midst, that's the middle of a burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regard thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image what I have set up. Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the carpet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcet, the all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship this image which have made well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of your hands? Oh, what a question, right? And here's their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, saying to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, meaning we are not careful. We are firm, we are bold to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, form of visceral, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty man wherein his armies to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, their hats, their other garments, were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace seemed hot, the flame of the fire slew those men, those mighty men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was stoned and rose up in haste and spoke and said to the counselors, do not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and they said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered, said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have not hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came down to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the kings, the counselors being gathered together saw these men upon those bodies, and the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God. Ooh, my page is stuck there. Let's see. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel deliver his servants that trust in him, have changed the king's word, yet yield their bodies. They may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I made a decree that every people, nation, language, or speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Ooh, that's a long read. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today in your presence tonight, lifting your name above all other names. All the one true God of the Bible. All the one true God that can deliver us from anything that we're going through tonight or the week. God sees our situations. He knows what's going on. He knows the pain and the sorrow that this life can bring us. Oh, I'm not a stranger to that. It can hurt, it can sting, it can bring you to your knees in desperation. Oh God, thank you for that shelter within the storm. God, thank you for your mighty protection when we're going through these trials in life. God, thank you for holding us and giving us comfort to endure through the fires of life. knowing they're shaping us, they're molding us into who you need us to be. Oh, we can't have a testimony or witness. Oh, we can't be that disciple. We don't go through things in life that rocks us, that shakes us. Oh, they're painful. They all have a purpose, though. Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift those that are going through things tonight, sickness maybe, financial issues. Oh, as our economy crashes and prices rise, oh, how the cost of living is heavy. Give us the strength to know, to look beyond this life, and to look at the future. For one day you will come back for us, and we will not have to worry about anything else in this life. We shouldn't be worrying anyway, but the human nature, we do worry. All this anxiety, all this depression, all this stress, you will wipe it clean. Our every need will be met. We will not have to worry about mortgages and car notes and prices of food and gas. All this will be wiped. Everything will be made new. Oh, we wait for that blessed hope. Let's not lose that sight as we go through these things in life, God. I pray that you just guide and you direct me tonight as I give this message that you have laid on my heart, God. Give me the strength to preach and teach the words that you need me to preach and teach you. Whoever is listening to this, I don't never know who is listening to these messages, God. I just deliver them as you command. God, once again, just be with us tonight. God, and direct this message. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Let me grab a cup of coffee or a sip here. Man, so when we look at Daniel 3, 1 through 30, it's a pretty good read. Long chapter. We have this man, Nebuchadnezzar. He is a king. He is the king over Babylon. And if you look at the history of Babylon, it was a mercifully powerful kingdom at that time. And you got Nebuchadnezzar, he is over it. If you would flip back to chapter 1, and I mean, time really don't permit for us to do this, but just kind of a little overview on the... Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was trying to get others to interpret his dream. Then Daniel comes. Daniel is the only person that can interpret this dream. Because of Daniel's gift, what God has given him to interpret the dream, Daniel gained favor with the king. And of course, within that, he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, requesting them also to be placed in positions, affairs of the province of Babylon. That's what we're seeing here. Now, what we see in Daniel 3, Daniel is not currently in the picture. Many would speculate, and I'm one of those, or you know, Daniel was busy and he probably was gone about sharing or about the king's business. So he was away from this situation. So that's why his name is not really mentioned here. But today we're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we could say they were being placed in the hot seat. As a king, Nebuchadnezzar, he started really thinking really high of himself. For a king to make a statue made of gold. Now, this statue was very tall. Most will put this statue at 90 feet high. That's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Just try to get a little picture of this. You know, we can look at telephone poles, especially here in the South. You see telephone poles. You can take two of those telephone poles and a half of one, stack them on top of each other, and that's about how the statue was. It was pretty tall. We also can look at the plain of Duran. This was a flat You can kind of think of an airport. It was level, no hills, valleys. And, you know, so the statue was seen for miles. So you have a huge statue that was about 90 feet high. That's high, or 90 feet tall, depending on how you want to look, and 9 foot wide. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is very proud of this statue. He's a he's calling everybody up. He wants them in verse 3. He has the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province. I mean, he's calling everybody. Come look at this statue. To put it in a modern day term, there would be, let's get CNN, NBC, ABC, all the news outlets, whatever sources we can, let's invite everybody to this, and they can film it and record it and talk about it. We want this to go out, right? In our media time, it would be faced all over Facebook, maybe Facebook Live, right? Anybody can Facebook Live. You might want to Zoom it, Twitter it. Take a picture, Instagram it. I mean, hashtag it. Everything would be. It would be across the globe if a statue like this was built. And that's just kind of getting that kind of perspective. Trying to put it in our terms. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he's in love with himself. He's I want everybody to worship this image. Everyone. And when you look at these instruments, he was not holding anything back. It was a celebration. Worship this golden image. And it says also our gods. And if anybody refuses, there will be severe consequences. They will throw in a fiery furnace. A furnace that was hot. Initially hot. And so you got all this going on, and of course we have the enemies. The enemy is always watching, and just not the physical enemy, which is influenced by the spiritual enemy, which you can flip over to Ephesians 6 and read about the spiritual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning there is a demonic host there, and I'm huge on spiritual warfare, and I have a Bible study series on this website. I encourage you guys, flip up there to, or actually go down to the bottom. Start from the beginning and work your way up. Everything's free of charge. I don't charge for anything, because it's all glory for God. Think about maybe eventually getting a P.O. box if somebody wants to send a gift, but I mean, it ain't about the money. It's all a labor of love and educating and teaching others. And we need to be aware of spiritual warfare, our enemies, right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, guys. Meaning, we can look over there and we can get mad at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all these. And they're puppets being pulled. And I pray they're not okay with... are pleading allegiance to Satan. Maybe some of them have. I don't know them personally. Probably not. That's not a good position to be in. But we wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, right? Rulers of darkness. And so there's a organizational pattern there. We truly can't really grasp that on what that truly means. We just know that Satan is highly organized. I guess if you wanted to look at it in the military wise, you would look at it as the high officials like your I guess you would think of the army. I'm thinking it's the 5-star general. I think that might be the highest rank, and then it works its way down to E1. Of course, I could be wrong, but the thing is, there is a power organization. So everything is coming down. So if they're all organized, so they're pulling the strings. And here's the same thing here. You got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are all, they're saying, we will not follow this creed because we serve the one true God. Well, then the enemies, were watching. They seen that being pulled by the spiritual enemies, the Satan and his demonic host. They look at that and they present this to the king. They're always, you know, people are always watching us. Don't think they are. Yeah, sometimes they won't put people on pedestals so they can just knock us down, right? We are human. We will mess up. I may misquote a scripture. I may say something astray. If I do, correct me. I'll take correction. I'm not beyond correction. If it's correct, right? And if you have a viewpoint, I love to hear it. I will listen to it. But the enemies were watching. So they come to the king and they say, you know, these guys, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, these guys that you put in control of your affairs. Guess what? They're not following. They're not bowing down. They're not worshiping your image, the golden image. And Nebuchadnezzar, he is enraged. You could say he had anger issues along with his pride issues. And he commands them to bring them. He said, give me the mighty men. Bring them to me. I am going to question them. And I want to hear what they have to say. I want them to answer to me. Why aren't they not bowing down to this image? Do they know they will die if they don't? Do they know the severity of their actions? And of course, they were very aware of the severity of their actions. In verse 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner, meaning they are being bold. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. I mean, they know God can deliver them. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, that's amazing. He said, if not, if he chooses for us to perish in this fire. Man, you're talking about perspective, right? Perspective. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thee. Even if it is death, because they knew physical death wasn't nothing. We shouldn't be fearing physical death. Especially when it comes to serving our true king, God. They said, no, unto thee, O king, will not serve thy gods nor worship the image man. And that you have said, we will not. Oh, this rubbed Nebuchadnezzar pretty rough. The king is full overflowing with anger. He's having his mighty man bound these guys up. And he said, let's turn this furnace, which is an open fiery furnace, let's turn it seven times. Let's sit it up. Some believe this was about 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This was hot. And hot enough where the men that were, these mighty men that were throwing them into fire, they perished just by the heat. Can you imagine how hot that was? And once they're in there, you know, Nebuchadnezzar probably was, you know, he was feeling pretty happy about it. So I showed them, right, who's boss. But when he looked at that open, it was an open furnace so he could see it without getting burned. He could not believe his eyes. He said, didn't I cast three men in this fire? But I see a fourth man that's walking in this fire, and he's like the Son of God. And when he's saying this, he's speaking of, he's trying to compare it to his gods. He don't have words for it. There's thoughts on who that fourth man was or is, how you want to look at it. I believe it was the pre-incarnate Christ in the fire with him. Because and then he calls them to come forth out of this fire, and this is amazing, not one hair is burnt. They did even smell like fire. I don't know if growing in the country, and I haven't done this in a while, you're in front of a bonfire, or what we say bonfire, you're just at a fire, and it's going to get cooler, right? The weather's starting to get cooler, and we do think, I know here in the South, and I'm pretty sure it's other places, we do s'mores, love being by a fire. Last year we did something like that. We went to a place and they were doing s'mores, and it was fun. And you sitting by that fire, you're taking the chocolate, right? And you're taking the marshmallows, and you got the graham crackers, so you got to melt all of that together, and you crush the graham crackers, and you just take a bite of it. But the thing is, that smoke and that smell will hit you like the fire, and you will smell like it, even just being in a little bit of the, not even a fire that's like that hot. So you just imagine they stepped out there. God was making a statement to Nebuchadnezzar. He does make statements, right? Our God is powerful. Don't ever think our God is not powerful. Don't think he's still not. Do not stop thinking he's still not on the throne. He is still in control of everything. He is still sovereign. His will be done. Because we don't understand it, we try to wrap our puny minds around his logic. His ways is higher than our ways. Let's get that. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Yes, we can't understand. I don't understand things while I look at it. And I scratch my head and say, why, God? But then I realize, I'm not God, and I can't see like God does, in the sense that I am all knowing and sovereign. He is. I have this flesh. It can cloud me, as it can cloud you and us. But this made a statement, right? The Nebuchadnezzar, he's impressed, and he said, your God is different than our God. Your God is more powerful than our God. And then, our God is still that powerful. He does not change, right? And when we look at this historical accurate story, and I'll say historical accurate story, because why? Today, the Bible, it's sad. It's been under attack for a lot of years, but probably before I was even more, but it's now being deconstructed, meaning they're saying these are just fables, these are just stories. So I always say historical accurate accounts are historical accurate stories. I want to avoid stories sometimes, because story might implicate that they are not real, but these are historical accurate accounts. What our God can do, right? When we look at this historical account, and we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how Nebuchadnezzar, he is wanting worship. He wants people to worship and praise him. Lucifer, which is now Satan, he had the same problem. And I believe today many of the popular mega churches, they seek that too. They want to worship themselves. This is a thing called the little God. They say we are little gods. No, there's only one God. I am a son of God, and you are a daughter of God, and we are children of God, but there is only one God. He is the true and holy and powerful and righteous. His glory is beyond what we can imagine. He is the one true God. And he wants us to worship his holy name. Oh, I love worshiping. I love in the mornings cutting on music and just pouring my heart out in prayer. When you're doing that, you're just praising his name, because you're saying, I am nothing without you, God. I can tell you, this Jonathan is nothing without Jesus. I am nothing without him. You see, it's that cross where the blood ran red, right? It's that cross where the grace and the mercy was seen for a sinner like me. Oh, God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice, right? Oh, without the cross and the blood that was spilled for atonement, oh, It should have been me on that cross, but he took everything. I am a sinner. I am a wretched man. God took that because of his love. Oh, his love. It's amazing. Every time I hear Amazing Grace, I'm starting to tear up a little bit thinking about it. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, we should never just listen to that song Amazing Grace and just become normal. Oh, his grace. Oh, his mercy. It should never get old. Every time we talk about it, it should do something to our hearts. And today, if it doesn't, oh, get on your knees. I don't care how long it takes. Stay on your knees till the day breaks to get that back. Lucifer wanted to be worshipped. Satan wants to be worshipped. Nothing new. Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to be worshipped. He has its image. He had his false gods, right? But I want to tell you, there's only one true God. And he's the only one that truly deserves our worship and our praise. You know, I was thinking of Acts 16:19-25. That's Acts 16:19-25. Verse 19 said, "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew him into the marketplace unto the rulers. And he brought them to the magistrates and saying, 'These men, being Jews, do seem trouble our city.'" Paul and Silas, they were causing problems. And guess what? If we're truly worshiping God and praising his holy name and doing what he has commanded us to, there will be problems, because this world don't want to hear that. He said, "They were teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do deserve being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates writ off their clothes." That was a sign of anger and distaste, right? "And the command to beat them. And when they lay many stripes upon them," meaning they beat them, "and they cast them into the prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely, who having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison, the darkest, deepest hole, and made their feet fastened so they couldn't get out," right? And but here is, "In the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God. And guess what? The prisoners heard them." Oh, how the prisoners heard them. Oh, you see, it's you're getting beaten down with stripes, right? You're cast into this deep hole. And how would we respond, right? How would we respond if we were stripped of nothing and laying in dirt and already bleeding from the beating? Will we still be able to pray and give God the holy praises, right? Because the same Holy Spirit that was in Paul and Silas is the same Holy Spirit that is living in the true followers of Jesus, right? That's there's no middle ground, right? Neither hot or cold. You're hot or cold. You are really steaming hot for Jesus, or you are cold. No between. Oh, how the church wants to be in between. Oh, their lukewarmness. Jesus doesn't speak very well of lukewarmness. "You neither hot or cold. I will spew you. I will spit you out of my mouth." He will. You see, worship and true worship, it takes our mind off our current condition. And it places in the position where God can get all the glory, right? It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. Is there Holy Spirit living in me? Give me the strength to endure this pain and suffering. Let the glory of God be heard. Oh, through this pain, how can I show the light of God? Oh, through this suffering, how can I show the light of God? Oh, thank you, God. I'm just going to praise you. I am going to lift your name above everything else. You are almighty. You are holy. You are righteous above the storm. Oh, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were aware of this. Oh, they say, and he just think of what they're saying. Oh, Nezer, we are not careful to answer thee in manner. I mean, they were bold. They knew where they stood. If they die in this lifetime, they knew where they were going. They didn't matter about death. The physical death is just a thing, right? The spiritual death is, that is the part that we should be concerned about, right? Spiritual death. That separation from God forever. Immense torment and flames of hell burning and still awake without ever escape. Take your worst day ever on this world and magnify that by a million, and you still ain't gonna touch the depths of hell. I was looking one time, it's been a while, I haven't seen this meme, this little thing on Facebook. It had a little comment, said, you know, one day, your worst day ever in this life, one day, it's going to be like that in hell every day. No ease. No breaks. Immense torment. Don't buy this garbage that hell don't exist. I promise you it does. How do you promise me? Because the Word of God is the Word of God has no errors. It is infallible. It is the Word of God. It has no error. You may think, well, why would you say that? I can go into a whole another sermon series on how reliable the gospel is, how reliable the text is, how it can be compared to a historical book. We know it's more than a historical book. There's this term apologetics, which I love apologetics. It's just basically give a reason for, you know, being able to answer the tough questions, give a reason. And there's some really good apologetic guys out there that breaks in. Lee Strobe's pretty good. I don't know about his personal life. I just know I've read most of his books, and he's really good on breaking down. Jay Wallace, I believe, he does Co-Case Christianity. I just came out with another book called... I just got it. I'm reading through it. Trying to think of the name of it. Person of Interest. There it is. You know, they really go down into, but and they break down, you know, how reliable the Bible is and how valid it is, how it compares to historical books. Like, for instance, we were not around for the most of it. We're not around for the Civil War. Why do we take that as it really happened then? Well, we read it from a text, a historical text, because that text has went through a series of historical accuracy, how they weigh something that's still, the Bible can be put through the same rules and still come out stronger and even more reliable than any history book that we have. So when I look at this, Word of God is historically accurate, is valid, is reliable. It is more important than any document out there. I believe it should be taught in every school. Once it was. But you know, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they stood on what they believe. And we need to stand on what we believe. We need to make worship part of our day. Starting in the morning, ending at night. You know, I have a old hymn book at my prayer altar in my office, and you know, I just look through it and sing. You know, I'm probably don't have the best singing voice ever. But you know, I praise. It's not about the voice; it's about the heart, right? Humbling yourself, getting your heart right with God before you step out them doors, getting prayer. Prayer is powerful, guys. It is. You see, when we worship, that is part of a powerful prayer life. When we look at Paul and Silas, what are they doing? They prayed and they what? Sung praises. Praise is to worship the holy and righteous God, to humble our hearts, and our humbling that heart to seek Him more through the day, our daily life. 2 Thessalonians 5:15 said, pray without ceasing. Prayer is a direct communication with God, you know, but this communication can be blocked, right? When we have this unrepented and unconfessed sin in our life, this can create interference with our prayer life. It creates interference with our worship life. We need to lay our hearts down at the cross and seek God's direction. You know, one of the things I pray is, Lord, forgive me where I failed you. I am flesh. Even if I don't think I have, I still say, Lord, forgive me. You see, when we seek God this way, our lives will be different. The way we view life will be different. All the challenges in life that are overwhelming us, we will start going through that and seeing things differently. You start seeing what we call the big picture through the suffering. And through it is to give God the glory and the honor, right? You know, I wrote a few scriptures down here and 1 Corinthians 3:13 said, every man work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, and that's man and women. That's collectively there in the Greek. Work of what sort it is. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being more precious than that of gold that perished, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, all pleasing to Jesus Christ, right? 13:9 says, I will bring third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call my name. Oh, let's call his name, and I will hear them, and I will say as my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. He is our God. 40:10 said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with the silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Job. Man, we can go into Job, right? And this is just one scripture. Job 23:10 said, but he know the way that I take. When you try me, I shall come forth as gold. And, you know, Job understood that. He understood the trial. James 1:2. Let's read all the way down to 12. My brother, count it all joy. You know, when we look at joy, we think of joy simply. Jesus, J, over you. Jesus is over everything. When you fall into divers temptations, that's many temptations, knowing this is trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and tired, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give to all men liberally and bribe not, it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing waving. Do not wave, right? For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, we cannot serve this. You know, we cannot serve two masters. We'll hate the one, love the other. You serve God or you serve Satan. There's no in between. Your life is going to honor God or it's going to honor Satan. Verse 9, so let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he exhorted, that the rich in that is made low, because all the flowers of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withers the grass, the flowers there fall, and the grace of the fashion is perished. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways all this life, right? It's just brief. And listen to verse 12 here. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which his Lord has promised to them that love him. This life is short, guys. I know when we're going through things in this life, and I know I experience, you know, I'm not immune from it. You know, I guess on the grand scheme of things, today it's been a really rough day. My heart's really burning. And, you know, it's maybe, I guess, minor to some. But, you know, I'm having car issues and, you know, getting to work and, you know, wife's not feeling good. And so all that combines on you, and then on top of that, you have that, you know, that stress, and you know, having to be able to get to work, because if you don't work, you don't make money, so you don't get to buy groceries and this and that. And I know one day that may happen. We may be all thrown in a dungeon. Who knows how everything's going to transpire, right, in the end. But, you know, that it still weighs. It still weighs on your heart. And, you know, but I find very comfort in the Word of God. Putting my eyes more on the things of God than on things that are such things as a vehicle and, you know, and things like that is... James 4:13-14 said, go to now ye that say to the day, tomorrow we will go to the city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Where you know that shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? James said, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. I mean, this life, if you really want to put it in perspective, is short. It's a vapor. If you have one of those little spray bottles that shoots a mist in the air, you can take it tonight and just squirt it and see how long that mist lasts. It's brief. I mean, it's gone like seconds. It really, that's our life, seconds in God's perspective. So everything we're going through, and that really puts a lot of perspective to things. It helps me. So, a lifetime of suffering we do in this life does not even compare. Don't even compare what God has prepared for His children. Heaven. Heaven's going to be a beautiful place, right? We only get enough in the Bible to really, I guess we will say in the country, wet our whistle. You know, it's like, I want no more. Oh, I want no more. But we know enough to say, oh, wow, this is going to be great. You know, no more pain, no more suffering, right? No more tears, right? He tells us it's going to prepare us a place, right? It's going to be beautiful. Wow, thank God for that. He's going to remove all these aches, these worries, these anxieties, this depression, all this things that just bring us down. That's going to be beautiful. But the goal is to understand, hey, am I a child of God, right? We need to know that. We need to know if we're a child of God. And you know, I preached several sermons on this website on salvation and a brief brief summary of salvation, and very brief. I have probably done quite a few hours and hours of speaking on salvation. So I encourage you guys to check those out. But you know, salvation is, and of course we know we see salvation from Genesis to Revelation, but You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus Christ to die, to walk this earth and to die on that cross for our sin, our sins, which we are guilty of. If you flip over there, Genesis 1:2, 2 and 3, you can see what we call the fall of man, the curse of this world was perfect. The garden was perfect. There was deception and there was the fall, and Adam and Eve, they messed up. They sinned against God, and when they did this, the disobedience is cursed. And that's when we have all this thing, all this pain, all this disease, and all this, you know, COVID, and we have all these things, and we have these bad weathers, and we have, you know, they were supposed to live forever. Adam and Eve were. They were not supposed to die. Just think about that. Just process that. It was through the curse that physical death came in, and of course, spiritual death. And today, we have this physical death. Most of us will see that, unless we see Jesus come back through the rapture, right? So, the spiritual death, that is that separation, that is what Revelation calls a second death. We come to Jesus Christ. We lay our hearts at the cross. We open our hearts and we commit. That's commit. We believe. And a commitment is something that shouldn't be like, oh, you know, I'm going to loosely do this commitment because it's just what everybody else doing. No, it is, I am all in. I recognize that I am a sinner that needs a Savior. I recognize my nature that is corrupt. And I lay my life at your feet, Jesus. I know you can't. You're the Son of God. And I know you died for my sins. And I know you rose from that grave. We take that by faith, right? And we recognize that grace and that mercy. Right? We recognize it. For by grace we are saved. Through faith. It's that grace that was seen at the cross. It's that mercy that was seen at the cross. It was the blood that was spilled for the atonement. Romans 5:1-11 tells us that atonement. It tells us about the sin. It tells us we need a Savior. It tells us all this. And we come to Jesus. And when we do, we open our hearts and we say we are all in. We become disciples for Jesus. There is no loophole. If you are a child of God, you are a disciple. Meaning now you are a disciple for Jesus. You're a follower of Jesus. And you are willing to give it all every day. And you're willing, what the scripture says in Mark 13:13, you will endure to the end. It's not all today. I just don't really feel like it. No. We are supposed to count the cost, right? We are supposed to lay our hearts at Jesus. We are supposed to submit and surrender our life daily. Beat our flesh to submission and get out back in there and preach the gospel and teach the gospel and let our life shine among the lost. Oh, we're failing in this. Oh, we won't look just like everybody else. And when we do that, we are dragging the name of Jesus Christ in the mud. And if you truly have the Holy Spirit inside your heart, it will grieve him. It will grieve that spirit. And he will convict you and chasten you. But if you don't have that conviction, that chasten in your life, there's something serious wrong with your walk with Jesus. So when we come to Christ, we become his disciples. We're all in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in closing, they were all in. They were placed in the hot seat. These physical enemies that were being pulled by the spiritual enemies, they wanted them to die. They wanted them to be placed in this this fiery furnace, they wanted them to die in the flames of the fire. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they understood who their God, and you could say, is, because he's still the same. Now they are in heaven with Jesus, so we can say was, I guess, depending on your tense there. And we know God is still the same. He does not change. Our culture might say that he does, because they're trying to justify their sin and live in it. They knew who their God is. And when they knew Nebuchadnezzar was overstepping his boundaries, they stood on the word of God. They stood on the truth. They said, no, we're not going to sit there and try to make this easy for you, King. We know our God can deliver us from this burning furnace. If not, so be it. We will still not bow. At that point, they'd be dead. So, of course, they ain't going to be bound. They'll be in heaven. Heaven, I guess. And we could break down heaven in a sense of... But let's not get too deep in that. I'm getting close to the hour mark. I'll try to keep these at an hour. But we say they'll be with God. And they knew being with God was going to be so much better and beautiful than living in this pagan world. And of course, the Babylonians were pagan. And that boldness. And we need that boldness, right? And we need to recognize that Lucifer, Satan now, he wants praise and worship. If you look at today, the world today, which is Satan's world, God's creation, right? You can see that in Matthew 4. He wants the world to praise him. And we should stray from praising Satan. And you can really see that in Scripture. We are supposed to restrain from that evilness. We are supposed to praise and worship the one true and holy God. No matter what the cost may be, we need to stand firm on that unwavering faith, solid, planted. When we look at Silas and Paul, right? They were beaten, they were stripped down, they were cast in a dark hole, and their enemies thought they really have them, but they were not feeling that, at that midnight hour, they still raised praise up to God, they still prayed to their God. They knew this life is nothing compared to the next, right? Perspective. We cannot lose perspective. When we're going through things in this life, when we're going through the trials of this life, when we're going through persecution and suffering in this life, it may increase more. Now in America, there could be darker days for true Christians in America. The way the world is, the America is, and the agenda, it looks this way. Only God can step in and say no. But the question is that the only way that America will wake up is when he removes everything? When he takes his blessings, God bless America. They remove God from almost everything, from schools to businesses and from family. When we remove God, he turns his back. Not because he's hateful, it's because we're asking him to. He cannot look up on sin. He cannot. But we have to stand. And when we stand, the key when we're standing is that worship and that praise. And starting that day out with that mindset, you know, wherever it may be for you in the mornings, it could be reading a hymn book, or it could be listening to some gospel music. It could be some southern gospel music, you know, the old hymns, or it could be some contemporary Christian music. Whatever, God looks at the heart. He says, make a joyful noise. We can get really dogmatic on what kind of music it is. As long as it is praising God and is humbling, he is getting the glory and he's getting the praise. And the Christian lyrics are centered on Christianity. Now, some of them, that can be questionable. So we have to listen to the lyrics. And like anything else, we weigh that to scripture. We listen to the lyrics. Oh, well, that don't sound right. So I probably should be listening to that. Yes, that's what we should be. We should be careful what we're listening to. But we praise his holy name, and we lift his name above any other name, and we get our hearts right, and we pray, and we travail during that morning or wherever it may look for you, and we get that heart right. And then throughout the day, we carry that throughout the day. And yes, we will be hit with things, and we'll be rattled by things throughout the day. Some days are worse than others. Amen. But when we are getting hit and we're getting challenged and we're feeling the fire of trials hitting us, we need to understand that God, every challenge, every fiery, I guess you will say fiery challenge, or is a opportunity to, here it is, God, let your light shine. Oh, my car just looked like it blew a axle. Oh, Lord, how can you shine, right? Oh, Lord, my boss just yelled at me, made me feel like a dog. Oh, God, how can I bring the glory? Yeah, that's painful, right? How can I bring the glory in God? Oh, you know, that's a mindset. We have to get our mindset when we face things. I see this is missing in a lot of churches, especially in America, is our mindset. We are got too comfortable and too comfortable, really. We don't want to get uncomfortable. And there is, God wants us to get uncomfortable. That's why he puts us through those fires. He does. And you can see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The key, the take-home message tonight is this. And I guess one or two sentences, if you remember anything else, is we will have trials in this life. They could be fury. They could rattle you to your core. But how can I give it to God and give him glory for it? As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to go over these scriptures and this passage, these passages, and this, Lord, I pray whoever's out there hearing this, they just, I don't know what they're going through. I just feel there's somebody out there going through something that's listening to this. It's amazing because my spirit is just drawn to somebody out there that's listening to this, or will listen to this. And I want to tell you, place your mind in scriptures. Place your mind in prayer and worship. And push, not on your own strength, but the Holy Spirit that's inside you. Push through them. And if there's anybody tonight that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they seek him through the scriptures. Lord, I pray you place somebody in their lives that has that are anointed by the Holy Ghost, that are, that knows through the studying and the hunger for your word to explain the scriptures to them about salvation. God, I pray as we go through the rest of this week that you guide us, you direct us, Lord, let your light shine. Lord, let our hands be your hands, let our feet be your feet, let our eyes see what you need us, see the opportunities all around us, God, that we will, regardless how busy we are, we will take time to do what you need to do, because it's all about you in this life. We get one shot in this life, and it's over with. Well, let's keep that in mind. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Once again, on this website, you can send me an email. I am on Facebook. If you're not part of my Facebook friends, send me a request. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. So, you can reach out to me. If you don't have any of those, you can definitely reach out through this website and send me an email, and then if, you know, I can send you the Facebook stuff if you need if you do Facebook, or if you well, you know, if we converse and we talk about through the scriptures, I may provide my phone number so you can text and we can talk that way, but I pray that every one of you guys, that this message has touched your heart and blessed your soul, and that it's encouraging, and maybe roughens up some areas, but that's how we grow. I pray all this, and we give God honor and the praise through all of this. Until we meet again. Bye.